Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
There is no doubt that in recent years, the left has used the courts extensively to advance their agenda. If they couldn't do something legislatively, they would do some judge shopping and find a friendly judge who agreed with them and thus push the country further to the left. During the past 3 years, we've seen the courts used to block President Trump's efforts in stopping illegal immigration, defunding Planned Parenthood, keeping transgenders out of the military, and so many other efforts have been used to hinder his agenda by activist judges. And there can be no doubt that the left hates, and I don't believe I exaggerate in that description, the two U.S. Supreme Court justices that President Trump has seated on the bench. During today's program, we're going to talk about one example of the left losing it. My guest today is Philip Dreghi, president of the Judicial Action Group. Thanks, Philip, for being with us.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thanks, Diane.
What do you guys do there at the Judicial Action Group?
Well, our mission in two words is judicial renewal, and your listeners will be happy to know what that means is restoring the judiciary to its proper role, which is deciding cases, rather than legislating from the bench, which is otherwise known as judicial activism.
Okay, yeah, we definitely need someone like you to do that, because the judges are going...
Thank you.
Yeah, the judges are just, they've forgotten what the Constitution, the limitations the Constitution places upon them. So, of course, as we all know, the Democrats have been upset, very upset, since President Trump won election in 2016, and even more upset that his two nominees for U.S. Supreme Court were confirmed by the Senate, even after they lobbied so hard against them, even bringing accusations of sexual misconduct against his most recent nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. And that seems to be an increasing tactic by the left, by the Democrats, when it comes to Republican candidates or judicial nominees. So why do you think the left has gone off the deep end with President Trump in office, especially? Just the past 3 years have been totally crazy.
Yeah. You know, it. I think it's tough to say. I think it's different for different people who've gone off the deep end. But I think big picture, what they're facing is, you know, they were not able constitutionally to accomplish their agenda for the last 50 years. And what I mean by that is the Constitution says all legislative power herein granted shall be vested in a Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that all lawmaking power, all decisions about the big issues facing Americans, our faith, our lives, our school, our, you know, you name it, abortion, marriage, taxes, schools, choices, you know, all these issues, they're supposed to be decided by the legislative branch, which are our elected representatives. But for the last 50 years, you know, two great examples would be abortion and then LGBT marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The left didn't win those battles in the proper constitutional branch, the legislative branch. They won those battles in the judiciary and then forced them on the nation. You know, it was illegitimate, and that's part of what we do is we argue against that and say it's not proper, you can't do that. But now what's facing the left is they've always been able to try to accomplish something in the legislative branch, and when they can't, they throw down their wild card, the judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
They get federal judges to basically lie and say the Constitution requires abortion. The Constitution requires fill in the blank,
right,
whatever they want, whatever their liberal demand is. The problem is they see that slipping away, and they're scared. They're very scared, as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
They've been lying and stealing and usurping for 50 years. But they see that slipping away, and so they're desperate, desperate. Like what Senator Schumer did was desperate. What you see Sonia Sotomayor doing is
mm-hmm.
desperate. What you see Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, so many people are desperate, and it's a little bit unsettling, but I think in a sense we need to step back and say, wait, this should encourage us because we're winning. The other side knows it, and they're getting desperate.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I know on March 4th, Senator Schumer really lost it when he was taking part in a pro-abortion rally outside the Supreme Court. and just explain to our listeners what happened in that setting.
Sure, and and it was interesting. I was there when it happened. I was not in front of a courthouse. I was actually inside the Supreme Court courthouse, and I could hear what was going on outside, and it sounded like a mob. It sounded like...
Probably was.
Yeah, well, it was. I mean, it sounded like I'll try to be a little professional about describing it, but it was a mob. It really was. Mm-hmm. So Schumer's out there giving a speech, and I don't know if it was premeditated or if he just got caught up in the demonic horde that was out there, but he made a statement, and I'll read it to you. This is a quote so that your listeners know I'm not adding any color to it. This is a quote. He said, "I want to tell you," and let me say this too. In the video, you can see him with his back to the court, but he turns around and looks at the court, and he's pointing at it.
Oh, really?
He says this. Yes, he's pointing at the court. He says, "I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh." Let me pause right there. The fact that he won't even refer to them as Justice Gorsuch or Justice Kavanaugh is disrespectful. Yeah. I mean, I always try, as much as I disagree with Justice Ginsburg, to at least pay the respect of saying Justice Ginsburg or Justice Kagan. So for a U.S. senator, the leader of the minority in the Senate, to not even extend the title is a problem.
Yeah.
So let me read it again. "I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price.
Wow.
You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions."
And he was pointing at the Supreme Court building. He turned around and pointed when he made that statement.
He
didn't even use their first names. I mean, that's even more disrespectful.
I know. I know.
So how did the crowd react when he made that statement?
Well, I watching the video, I can't remember. I would be making it up, Diane, if I told you. My suspicion and my recollection is that they went wild.
I would envision that.
Telling them what they wanted to hear.
Yeah.
But I'd have to watch it again. But I think it was well received by that crowd, would be my guess.
Oh, that'd be my guess, too. Yeah, I was outside the U.S. Supreme Court building just taking pictures and just kind of meandering around through the crowd on, I think it was April 28th, the day that the Supreme Court, or the 2015, the day the Supreme Court heard the arguments in the Obergefell case.
Yep.
And talk about a mob.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I have some interesting pictures from that day, for sure.
I'll bet you do. Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, beyond the disrespect that Senator Schumer showed to these two sitting justices, again, the two nominees that were the two justices that President Trump was instrumental in getting on the bench, isn't there also just a danger? You know, beyond the disrespect, there's also the danger of that mindset.
What Schumer did and said is bad on a number of different levels that we could talk about. One, he's threatening them. And what he said was really to the point of saying, "You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these. You'll pay the price." Well, that sounds like violence at that point. And Chief Justice Roberts even made a statement that recognized that. One of the things, there are a couple other things, though, that bother me about it. One, he didn't say Supreme Court. He singled out two justices, and he just so happened to single out the two newest justices that were appointed by Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about Justice Thomas, who's very conservative? What about Justice Alito, who's very conservative? Mm-hmm. What about Justice Roberts, who might be a swing vote? What about the left? I mean, why settle or single out just these two justices by name? That's odd to me. Mm-hmm. It's very odd.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's bothersome is he says, he's referring to them, and he says, "You won't know what hit you," and then listen to these words, "if you go forward with these awful decisions." Now, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch hadn't announced a decision. They hadn't announced how they were thinking or planning to vote or anything else.
Yeah. And this is a Louise
Schumer.
Yeah, explain.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, explain what the case actually is. To me, it's not even an abortion case. But yet we have pro-abortion activists out there demanding, you know, to protect the woman's right to choose or whatever. So what is the case actually?
So the case deals with a Louisiana law that simply says, and by the way, all type of medical clinics in the state of Louisiana have this requirement, but for some reason, abortion clinics have been exempted from having the requirement. that if you that abortionists have to have admitting privileges in a hospital within 30 miles of where the clinic is. Well, that applies to a doc in a box. That applies to, you know, if you go in to have a wart removed, that the doctor has to have that requirement. They have to be able to admit you, and certainly with abortions. I mean, sometimes you have people who are former optometrists, like eye doctors, performing an abortion. Well,
oh,
it's foreseeable. It happens. They make mistakes. They hurt people. They puncture a uterus. And that woman has to go to the hospital. So it's a reasonable law. But the judge there in Louisiana struck it down and said it violated the Constitution, which it doesn't, but said it did. Thankfully, the Court of Appeals, the Fifth Circuit, reversed and said, no, this Louisiana law is proper. Well, now the case has come up to the U.S. Supreme Court on appeal. So that's where we find ourselves in this case.
Okay, and that's where the left is going crazy. Even though, to me, the whole thing, the whole purpose of the Louisiana law is to protect women.
Against
optometrists who do abortions and such like that. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. And we have people that were with us in Washington, women who have had abortions. Some, I know one woman in particular who testified when this statute was passed in the Louisiana legislature, who was actually injured by an abortion doctor and then basically thrown out of the clinic with nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
And was in serious, serious jeopardy, had to by herself get herself to a doctor when she could barely move and almost, you know, foreseeably could have died.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, my.
So this is not a pro-woman policy. This is a pro-abortion money killing babies policy is what it is.
Yeah.
One of the crazy things about this case is that the abortion clinics and doctors have the gall to go into court and say, we represent these women. When many of the women say, oh, no, you don't. You've injured us. You're injuring us. We want to have this law. And the abortion doctors are saying, well, no, you don't. We'll speak to the court on your behalf and tell the court you don't need this law to protect women.
How can these abortion doctors have standing? Isn't there a question of standing?
They should. It would be like me going into court and saying, I represent Diane Gramley. I don't. I'm not Diane Gramley. Only you can represent yourself.
Right.
So they don't. This is one of the dirty things about these abortion cases is the court's decisions in many ways are not based on law and it's not based on what's proper. It's based on we want the courts to be the creator of abortion rights. And so they break all sorts of rules and all sorts of policies like who has standing to come into a court to file a lawsuit. All these rules get bent and tweaked and perverted because judges are doing everything they can to try to preserve this abortion so-called right.
Yeah, and that's scary. I mean,
It is.
I mean, this judicial activism has been going on for decades, but it has escalated in the last 3 years. I mean, and you know, from what I read and from what I see, it's escalated in the last 3 years. And it seems to escalate more so when a Republican is in the White House.
I'll take a little different tack on that, Diane.
Okay.
And I what I would say is the manifestations of the problem are much more evident right now.
Okay.
But the problem has been there. And I'll liken it to when Jesus was on earth and he walked around towns, and when he came in, demons would manifest and start screaming and people would fall on the ground that had demons. Well, Jesus didn't cause that demon to be there. It's just when light encountered darkness, a battle was provoked.
It's how
and
how
I think
reacted,
it's the same way right now. You know, these problems have been here for decades. The problem is they haven't been addressed.
Yeah.
And right now, they're being addressed, and so there's a reaction. It's just like, why did Schumer flip out? It's because they're scared. There's a reaction. Things are happening. Things are turning. And so for me, I'm greatly encouraged, and now is the time to lean in and fight even more because we're winning, and if we stay with it, we're going to win.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
Well, that's an excellent point, excellent point. That, again, also points out how very, very important this 2020 election is.
Yep.
And the left is even at this point, has gone hysterical with the prospects of Trump winning another 4 years. But do you happen to know right off the top of your head how many judges he's been able to successfully put on the bench? President Trump?
I have a document where I'm counting, and I'd have to pull it, and it would take me 60 seconds to look at it again, but I'll tell you, it's either right under or right above 200 at this point.
That's what I was thinking, right around 200. So, yep. And he has pretty much, thinking of the Ninth Circuit, which has always been extremely liberal. That's California, yep. And the western states there. And it's always been extremely liberal, and it's the most overturned court, federal court in the nation, but he's pretty much been able to flip that, hasn't he?
Well, sort of. Here's what's happening on the Ninth Circuit. There have been a number of good additions to that court. When you take every judge on the court, if you have a full, what's called an en banc panel, mm-hmm. we still have the left that's in control.
Okay.
But it's tenuous. And sometimes, Diane, you'll have a case that comes up on appeal, and they're almost always assigned to three judges randomly.
Okay.
And so now you're having cases where we're winning them at the Ninth Circuit because they're going to these three-judge panels,
okay.
smaller panels, and we have some very good judges on those panels, and we're winning cases. Now, winning them when it's a full en banc mm-hmm. appeal, they can always appeal it from the three-judge panel up to the full
right.
Ninth Circuit, and that's where we're having trouble. But things have drastically changed, both in the Ninth Circuit and all across the nation and other appellate courts.
Okay, so we're making progress. That's why we need
Absolutely.
President Trump for another 4 years. But and that's not an endorsement. I'll put it like that. I'll throw that out there. And another thing that bothers me is that children in schools are not being taught the Constitution. They're not being mm-hmm. taught what the Constitution actually says, and they believe that it is the job of the courts to write law, basically. And so we have a generation, actually probably two or three generations now, who have been taught that is the judges' responsibility to rewrite bad laws or to, you know, do the job of the legislature. The legislature doesn't do its job. So
right.
So we have future leaders who are misinformed as to what the role of the judicial system is. Again, that's a whole different subject, a whole different program.
Right.
But, you know, talking about the public school system and its negative mm-hmm. influence when it comes to even the role of the judges, it's scary. So, by and large, when we see Schumer's statements, it reflects the fact that the left is frightened by the advancements that have been made, the efforts that have been made to counter their agenda. And you mentioned 50 years. That's 50 years ago, five decades ago. But
yep.
And we have, you mentioned the abortion case and the so-called same-sex marriage case as two examples of judicial activism. How are some of the ways, or are there ways that the average citizen can participate or can counter this judicial activism?
Absolutely. I would ask them, and this is, I don't want this to sound self-serving, but we put information out and we ask people strategically to take action with calling senators on judicial nominees. And we research nominees.
Yeah.
And so periodically we'll have to take action. We'll let people know. For example, we're getting ready to do some work against Senator Schumer, but also there's a federal judge that's written a law review article that's just explosively crazy.
Oh, yeah, I just got that article you sent.
But I'd love for people to go to our website and sign up for our updates, because that's one of the ways that, you know, we do the research, but one thing that we need is we need an army of people who will take action,
yeah,
make calls, send emails. So I'd love for your listeners to do that, to go to judicialactiongroup.com. And just sign up for our email update. We don't spam people every day, so they're not going to have to deal with that. We're pretty strategic.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we don't send emails out for a week because mm-hmm. We're very strategic on what we send out and when we send it. So
that's
anyway,
that. judicialactiongroup.com.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I want to throw out real
just
quick
like
that.
It sounds.
Pardon?
No, it's just like it sounds, judicialactiongroup.com, no
okay.
spaces.
I want to throw out right quick that Senator Hawley has introduced a bill that would censor Senator Schumer because of his attack on Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. Do you think that's going to go anywhere?
I don't know yet. I know that it already has gone somewhere in a sense. I mean, we already have 15 senators who've signed on to that, including Hawley. And so to pass it, we would need 51 or 50 plus Mike Pence.
Uh-huh.
We're doing some work, putting together some packages, and then hope to be lobbying senators to sign on to that. So I think it's too early to tell. But the very fact that it was introduced with 15 senators is a massive statement. but I'm hoping we can actually pass it.
Absolutely. That'd be great. Yeah, we put out an alert asking folks to contact Senators Toomey and Casey to sign on. I'm not holding my breath on Toomey. I'm not holding my breath on Casey, but hopefully Toomey will. Hopefully.
That's right.
So give us your website again.
Sure. It's judicialactiongroup.com, J-U-D-I-C-I-A-L, actiongroup.com.
Okay, fantastic. And I do encourage folks to go to the website because, like Philip said, they have lots of information, and I can attest to that. There's lots of information there. And a lot of times people complain that they don't have information on judges, but you guys, especially when it comes to the federal level and such, you have information that nobody else has because you guys have done the research. So thanks so much, Philip, for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. Thank you, Diane, for the work you do.
Okay, take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, all right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.